Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 231, I was very lucky, privileged to have Scott Feld on the podcast. He is a certified life skill coach for kids at Mind Zen Emotion, an organization he founded back, I believe, in 2020. Basically, he is helping kids find their direction, find their purpose, find their focus. We talked about many things, how he got his organization started, why he got his organization started, and we also talked about, how some Play-Doh can help shape and help shape a child's life and basically help them take responsibility for their own life. Got to say, all in all, it was a delight to talk to him. I look forward to talking with him in the near future. So sit back, enjoy the show, and be excellent, be awesome, be fantastic. Peace. Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 231. Let the podcasting gods be with us and let this go on smoothly. I have Scott Feld with me. He is a certified life skill coach for kids at Mind Zen Motion. LLC. I have to put the last bit on there. But yes, how are you today, sir?
I am great. Thanks for the intro. Love it.
Hey. I'm glad to have you here at this moment in time. Yeah, people, if this goes a little bit wonky, it's on my side of things because technology is technology and sometimes it is fickle, to say the least. But yeah. I have to ask, how did you become a certified life skill coach?
Well, I mean, I went through a course and took a test for the certified part. The part where I decided to do that is a much broader, longer story, starting with the fact that I love personal development. I love growth mindset. I've studied it for myself and I've coached it, taught it as a volunteer. Without the quote unquote certification, just the training and education. And then I've also worked with kids and teenagers for about 25 years because I've owned an interactive entertainment company here in San Diego where I live for that age group. And I created that company. I created all the games and it became very, very popular. COVID just kind of knocked the legs out from underneath a party company because people stopped having those parties, obviously. And so, that was the moment, and I teach this when I coach, that opportunity struck, not disaster, opportunity. And opportunity was, I could really take what it is I loved, this personal development, whether it be from a spiritual side or it be just from like a on the court, just mindset, how to use your mind side and combine it all together, then add the special sauce that made me different. Add the games, add the interactiveness, add the engagement that I had from my other company, Extreme Fun, and create something called Minds in Motion. So the certification was something that I found that I think added some credibility. Truth be told, I don't think I necessarily need the certification. This is kind of my own thing, but what the heck? It doesn't hurt. Sounds great.
No, I know. I hear you. Like with regards to sort of like, getting certified, doing the training and finding this new opportunity in helping kids with their sort of mindset and sort of would you say focus as well for their whatever they might be facing in life?
So focus is definitely one of the things that we talk about, right? Course. So my course that I created for Minds in Motion is called Becoming Unmesswithable. And it's the keys to unlocking your inner superpowers. And so focus is definitely one of those keys. But here's the thing about focus. See, my parents who knew none of this, but love them and did their best, like most parents, would say to me, you got to focus, Scott. And I'd be like, I am. But I'm not focusing on what you want me to focus on. I'm not focusing on schoolwork or goals or, you know, things that are moving me forward. I'm focusing on, you know, that girl and how to not get in trouble or how to get away with cutting school or whatever it is I was doing. I'm focusing on that. So the thing is it's not just focus, it's directed focus. It's inner power focus. So you choose what means something to you, what you really love, what your unique gifts are. You get in touch with that. And then you start focusing on how to get it. Now that is a good focus.
Yeah. Now this is the thing. I would say it's one of those things where you talk like, when I mentioned focus, it's one of those things where, okay, if you can focus, then you'll have a better chance of finding your purpose. It's one of those things which it's never clearly defined to kids, if you get what I mean. It's kind of like, as you say, a little bit airy-fairy. And like, basically, when you ask a kid to focus, it's just normally for a classroom lesson or just like, yeah, to just do a benign task. But trying to help them find that true inner focus, that takes a little bit more as well.
Yeah, it's a muscle you have to build up, you know, and part of the trainings that I did, and I'll share this with them, is I'll put a dot on the wall or light a candle and see how long I can look at it, you know, without having my mind go away, and then bring my mind back so that I can extend that period of time, like building a muscle, if you were going to the gym or something, and then being able to take that exercise and relate it. But you have to be able to relate it to something. So this is where the creating of something that you love, a goal, comes in, because if you can go, all right, I can focus on a candle for 1 minute, let me now focus on this thing for 1 minute that might move me forward towards my goal. And this is where awareness comes in. This is when you can start seeing the things, when your mind kind of calms down and you can start really seeing things, you can start imagining things, because it's not going so fast and just talking to you at all times, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. When you mention awareness, I think, like, okay, awareness for an adult is very difficult, especially self-awareness. Like, so when you're asking a kid to have awareness and being self-aware, like, is that even more difficult, or would you say it's around about the same?
I think a lot of things are a lot less difficult with teenagers, and even less difficult with that tween age, that 10 to 13. And the reason for it is they're not carrying so much with them, so much baggage, so much stuff. So it's a little easier to kind of cut through and get them, you know, something. And that's why I like that age group. That's why I like working with that age group, because I work with adults as well. But man, oh man, it's a heavy load that a lot of them carry. And there's a lot of, you know, set beliefs about things. And when you talk to a kid and you just say, hey, look, there's truths and there's beliefs, and then there's beliefs that are disguised as truths, and then let's talk about what each one of those are, they can get it pretty quick. So as I said, I teach and coach through fun and games, and we'll talk about, you know, this, what are truths? Like, what do you know that you know? Like, you know that you know how to tie your shoe. Cool. You know that you know maybe certain math problems. And then we'll talk about what you know that you know inside of what would you like to do. So if you wanted to make, you know, a certain basketball team, well, I know that I know I have to be able to dribble this way or shoot this way or pass this way or hit the ball this way, whatever it might be. But there's also the other form of knowing, which is what you know you don't know. So I always tell them that I know that I don't know how to do heart surgery. And this is a good thing. Keeps me from going into the hospital and starting to operate. I know I don't know how to fly an airplane. Great. I won't go to the airport and jump in the cockpit. But the thing about knowing that I don't know it is it gives me an access. Because if I go, oh, I know I don't know how to fly a plane, but that's something I'd really love to do. I can start taking the steps. They're already outlined for how to fly a plane. But then there's the awareness occurs in the what you don't know, you don't know. And I have fun with them and I go, you know, I'll give you 1 minute to name three things that you know that you don't know, you don't know. Well, what you don't know, you don't know. They can't name any. It's a blind spot. It's what you don't see. And I love using this example with them as I say, look, I have a board here and I have a nail. And my biggest goal in life, the thing that I really want that comes from deep inside of me, is this nail to go into this board. That's all I want. I've been trying to get this forever and ever using what I know that I know. And that is I'm hitting it with my fingers. I'm hitting that nail. I've been hitting that nail, hitting it, just trying, because I really want that nail to go into the board. I've heard that other people have gotten nails and boards before, and this is my big goal. And then I go, but it's hard. It's difficult. My fingers hurt. And then along comes somebody, because I'm on the journey. I'm not giving up. I'm on the journey. Comes along with this thing called a hammer. And I'd never seen this before. This was a blind spot. This was something I'd never seen. They bring it to me and they go, hey, have you ever seen this? I go, no, what's that? And they go, well, it's a hammer and it's used to, you know, some people who've really achieved this have used it to get the nail into the board. How does it work? And they can show me, but they can't do it for me. They go, well, you take it and you hit like this. Well, I go, all right, let me try that. And I miss a couple times and I might even hit my finger and I want to give up because it hurt a little bit, but I can kind of see how this is working. Then pretty soon, boom, 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 I've achieved my goal. Why? Because I was on a journey and somebody brought me something that I could become aware of and bring it to my knowing so I could use it. So I teach them that way. So I tell them there's things out there you haven't seen before, but you'll never see them unless you start walking the path. And you got to figure out what that path's going to be. So that's the awareness for kids.
Yeah, like this is the thing. Like it's one of those things where you told people you got to walk the path. Well, especially kids. And they like it's one of the things I think people often shy away from, because in today's society, it's sort of instant gratification and like sort of building that sort of skill set, as you're saying, yes, you're hitting something, like you're hitting a nail with your hand until someone comes along with a hammer, then it's like, right. But it's kind of like if I said to like a kid, I went, yeah, it's going to be a long journey. Yeah, you're going to not have the tools at the beginning, but over that course of time, building, working, communicating, then you'll get like new skills, new talents will come to you. How do you manage to sort of like ingrain that into like a kid who might, like, you know what I mean? They might not have baggage, but they don't actually, they haven't seen the process, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't seen the process in them, but they, you know, first is look at people who've accomplished things that you would like to accomplish, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're a basketball player, I can kind of see your Nike Michael Jordan in the back there. You know, if you're a basketball player, well, you know, what did Michael Jordan do? What did Kobe do? What did others do? If you want to be an actor, what did these actors go through? You can go look and you can study and you can see the only way they became an actor, a singer, a basketball player, whatever it is by going on the journey. They didn't say they wanted, and then it happened. The next thing that I'll tell them is I'll be like, look, let's say that you wanted to have, you know, a tree, like you wanted to have a plant, you wanted to grow a garden. So you're going to put the seed in, right? Well, I mean, the second you put the seed in, you don't get the plant, you don't get the fruit, you don't get the tree, right? Now it takes a process of time for it to grow, but it's growing. Here's the thing, it's growing underground. You can't see it, but it's growing. Now, all you have to do is, you know, make sure it's planted in good soil, give it some water, give it the sunlight, you know, that it needs, and it will grow. That's nature. That's why we have food. That's why we have trees. That is what happens. But if you worry the whole time and you think, oh my gosh, this isn't growing. I know it's not growing. Let me dig in there and see why this thing's not growing. You're messing it up. And ultimately what you are doing with those negative kind of thoughts and that worry and that concern is you're growing the weeds around it. So you're growing the thing you don't want and not giving the energy and power to live. So there is some faith, there is some belief. And, you know, we tell them you have to go on the journey. That's what these people did who have done incredible things, is they went on the journey. They didn't know every single step. They saw where they wanted to go, or at least had an idea. They knew where they were starting, and they took a step and another step and another step, and new steps opened up. As I created this course and I went from running a party company to running this company, right, as an official thing, I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know how, you know, and I still don't know what the ultimate thing is, but I tell them it is the journey. Like, look, getting to where you want to go, that's great, but you becoming the person you're going to become getting there, that's the important part right there. And they hear it. And when we talk about awareness, some of them are like, that's the moment. That's what they needed. Like you gave them the thing that's going to like change their life and get them going. For others, they heard it and they can't unhear it, but maybe they weren't quite ready, but they have choice now. So anytime they want to choose this new thing that they heard and go on a different path, mm-hmm. well, it's there for them. And that's also awareness for them. So you just never know. Yeah. Got to give it to them.
Yeah, no, like this is the thing. I'm a strong believer that we all carry like seeds of greatness with us. It's just a case of when you have these seeds, where you plant those seeds, it might not be fertile ground for that sort of great moment. It's like, okay, if we stick with a sort of basketball analogy, like, yeah, like basketball, I go, basketball, that's my thing. Put in the ground, cover it in, cover it in the ground, like cover the soil over and go, yeah, basketball. And I might not have the sort of natural talent or gifts for that to happen. And all of a sudden, it's like, that seed is not going to grow there. But it might be something like, okay, writing or like, yeah, singing, dancing. Like, it could be a myriad of other things where if I put my seed over there, it turns into a plush forest. And like, or a mighty like redwood. But you know what I mean? It's just finding that right soil to make that seed grow, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, even for the basketball player, when you're a kid, I ask them not to make permanent decisions about, you know, if they're on like a youth basketball team mm-hmm. and, you know, they maybe aren't doing as well, or there's one kid that I coach, he's like, you know, I'm just too short. You know, and we'll remind him of Spud Webb and some of the others who are 5'4 and 5'6 who, you know, are all-star, you know, people who played in the NBA, but they're rare and all of that. But don't hang your hat on one thing. If you love it, you know, and you want to commit to it, you could become like, you know, the best dribbler, the best assist person. You know, there's no reason in the world, like, I don't know if listeners know Steve Nash, a Canadian soccer player with long hair who played for the Phoenix Suns, had no business being a two-time MVP when really basketball was his second thing. You know, soccer was his first, but that's what happened, right? And now he's the coach of the Nets, I believe. So it's like, you don't want to give up and hang your hat. Michael Jordan got kicked off of his, he got cut from his high school basketball team. I mean, if he had been like, I can't play basketball, right? I mean, so you can keep that plant growing, but there's a difference between the commitment and the attachment. So if you get attached to a certain result, then you're going to have a problem. If you're committed to a certain result without the attachment, then you're doing the steps and the movement going towards it. Now, there's a girl that I coach, and she told me that her dad wanted to be a baseball player, and he played for a farm team of a major league, but just couldn't quite do it. Well, but because he went on that journey, he's a scout for the San Diego Padres, and he travels the world finding baseball players to bring up to the Padres, and he loves that job, and that turned out to be the thing for him, which, you know, so again, you just never know. He didn't see that. That wasn't the goal, but he loves it. So, you know, there's always opportunity.
Yeah, no, like this is the thing, the power of a decent pivot at the right time can like, how can I say? It's, you remember that film Sliding Doors, like many mm-hmm. moons ago, like basically Gwyneth Paltrow. It's like, she's this regular sort of ad agency worker. And like, there is a moment where she gets out of a lift and then it sort of splits on to another timeline where she stays in the lift. And you see how her life plays out on these two different paths. And like, cool. It's like, yeah. And it's just like, it shows you how that pivot really worked out. Like one where she was like still with the ad agency, like in like, yeah, she found love and everything like this. And the other way she like, was fired because she took some bottles of booze and like, yeah, she was like, right. But you saw how it just went, ooh, that way. And I think many people, how can I say, because of like easily with that gentleman who was in the Farmer League for his baseball, he kind of hung on to that, gripped on tight and not let go of that sort of dream he had, but knowing to like, oh, you know what? It's not working. It's like I've done everything. Yeah. I've given my best. I've worked harder than I can actually, you know what I mean, work harder than this would just be insanity. Let me try something new and find that happiness, which I think is a hard thing to do these days.
Yeah, it can be. But again, that's the awareness that's having your head up and your eyes open to kind of see what it is. And here along comes, you have this dream of being a professional baseball player. But like you said, It feels like you've done everything. And maybe that might not be the thing. But wait a minute. There's a door right over here opening. Because why did you see that this opportunity to be a scout? Like, how did that? And then him going, oh, you know what? I'm willing to let go of this because this is calling to me. I can see what's happening. I'm aware. My eyes are open. My vision isn't here. Sometimes that's good if you're like hyper-focused on something that you want. Mm. But oftentimes you do have to spread out and open up your vision sometimes just to see what's around you. Just to look and see. You don't get connected. You don't have things latch onto you when you open it up, right? What you do is you see what's available out there. What else could help me? What else could I be doing? And then you see it and you might, you know, get focused on that, which is, I'm guessing, what he did. I haven't talked to him, but now all of a sudden he went, I want to be a baseball player. Wait, that's not working. Let me open up. Wow, now there's this new opportunity. Let me go focus on that now.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Basically, yes. Having that awareness to look up, like being focused on a task, is there's nothing wrong with that, because you do need that focus to, like, hey, make things work. Make it go in that right direction, not be poor at the job you're doing or taking care of that task. But if it's not going the way you want it, look up, look around, and then, yeah, if there's something new, focus on that. Interesting. No, like, this is the thing. It sounds very simple. It sounds very straightforward. But, like, the amount of times you have people where you ask them, like, if you said, yeah, why don't you do that? They can't do it. It must be like, it must be kind of strange and frustrating, if, like, on the outside when you see it. But have you experienced that yourself?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a difference between simple and easy, right? It actually is very simple. Once you hear it, you go, oh, it's simple. But easy, that depends. And, you know, it really depends on kind of your programming that you already have and how deep and how intense that programming is, and how we talked earlier about your beliefs being held on to as truths instead of what they are, their beliefs. And when you really understand what a belief is, then you go, all right, well, that came to me in some way, maybe my parents, maybe my school, maybe my church, maybe my friends, but I didn't create it, and it's not a truth, which means that there's other belief options out there. And I'm willing to be open to seeing, you know, what else is out there that I can really connect myself to. So when those are so strong, those are so intense, like the truth, then people don't listen, right? Things bounce off of them a little bit. But like I said before, you can't unhear it. So when you do understand and you go, all right, well, look, there is another way. You know, there is a way for you to control your mind. There's a way for you to use your mind. What's different between us and the animals is we actually don't have to just react to our surroundings. We have thought. We can powerfully think. We can imagine. We can create. We can reprogram, right? We have all of these faculties inside of us that we're able to use. Problem is, a lot of people don't use them. Bigger problem is they don't use them because they weren't shown them or taught how to properly use them, which is what I'm out there doing now. And then the biggest, you know, thing is fear. So if I'm somewhere and I'm used to it, right, that's my comfort zone. But my comfort zone doesn't mean it's good. It doesn't mean I like it. It doesn't mean I'm happy. My comfort zone might be on the couch with, you know, tequila or vodka, you know, staying away from the world because it's too damn scary out there. Right.
Well, you don't need to go into your Friday nights. That's another story.
Right. So that's a comfort zone. But there's this intuitive voice speaking to you because you're a human. And that intuitive voice, you know, most likely is saying something like, you're wasting your life. You want more. You used to have dreams, you know, stuff like that. And if you can get to people and showed them, I understand you're in a comfort zone and stepping out can be scary, but here's a process for you. Because you can really get what you want, what you might have dreamed about and still do dream about, by simply just taking a tippy toe into the water, the uncomfortable water, and just seeing what it feels like. Because you're imagining the worst. It's probably never as bad as you are imagining it could be. And you do, sitting here in your comfort zone, have the power to imagine it being great. Imagine yourself creating something. You want to do art? Imagine, close your eyes, see yourself painting, see yourself selling that painting, see people like telling you what a great painting it is, instead of sitting here going, oh, I would love to paint, but I can't do it. Mm. They're both imagination. None of them are actually happening. You're sitting there. So, you know, imagine and create what you want. That'll help you get out of that comfort zone. And I think desire is just the first thing that you need. I mean, that's the catalyst. Just have a desire for something a little bit more than where you're at. And then you can use the imagination and then you can step out. And yeah, like we said, simple, but not easy, but people do it all the time. So it can be done.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree. Like sort of changing and moving out of the comfort zone and sort of changing that sort of belief pattern about oneself. Very hard, very difficult to do. But like the whole thing is, I think some people get caught up in the trap of, okay, I must get myself in shape. Mm-hmm. Have at it. And they run out, they like go like a mad badger out of hell. And like, yeah, they go, like they do all the exercises, everything like this. And then a couple of weeks later, motivation ebbs. They don't see the results they want. And they fall by the wayside. When instead of going out at it like hard and gung-ho, small steps. The smaller steps can lead you to like your greatest successes. Because like, you know what, when we're babies and kids, like first learning to walk, it's like, yeah, you're getting up, you're standing, you're getting up, standing. One day that first step comes along. And then fall over, get up, stand. Oh, two steps. Then a few months go by before you know it. Joy, parents' nightmare.
Yeah.
Watching this small individual going at, like, yeah, at speed, you know?
But what you're saying is so true. And we as babies are born with this. This is our innate nature, is we never, like, thought, oh, you know what? I can't do this walking thing. I give up. Right? We just kept going and we did it, right? Same thing with talking. Mm. And I have a 6-year-old son and he's not thinking, you know, he's in kindergarten. He's not thinking, oh, I'll never be able to read. I mean, I think some kids get a little frustrated, but he's learning to read and he's sounding out words. And his thought process really is focused on reading, not I can't do this. And so what happens is we become adults, for whatever reasons, is we start focusing on what we can't do, what's not possible for us, and we lose that possibility. I'm going to walk. I'm going to talk. I'm going to read. And I think if you can get back to your innate nature of it, then, because that's who we are, then you just, you know, realize you can do anything, but it's going to take something. It's not happening to you.
Yeah. You know, no, I agree.
It happens with you. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to just simply say, yeah, like you can like buy a pair of trainers or like running shoes and like, you know what I mean? You can have them sit there, but that's just the ticket for you to work harder on, like to basically to open you up to work harder to like go for that walk, go for that run, increase your fitness on that way. Or if you bought some pencils to sketch, say, you like that's your ticket to like start that process. And like, yeah, I think also another thing what people sort of get caught up in is like the friction. They don't make it easy to sort of take on these new habits and stuff like this. Like, I don't know. Do you have like sort of processes you put into place to like go, you know what, rather than sort of make that difficult, you want to do this? make it easy by doing ABC before you do that initial task?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think one of the most important things we can share with people, like your example of losing weight or going to the gym, is be kind to yourself. I mean, you got to have grace. You got to understand that you are trying something new and you are trying to do something for yourself. That doesn't mean go easy on yourself and say, you know what, today I just don't feel like I'm not going to go to the gym, right? When you said that you were. But what it does mean is that don't say to yourself, I'm going to go to the gym for 3 hours and I'm going to lose 25 pounds in a week. You had a guest on a week or episode or two ago who talked about, you know, people who have unrealistic goals and it makes them quit. He was like something about, you know, becoming skinny. I think that was in the title of what he does.
Costas.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's exactly right. It's that goes back to the vegetable or the plant or the whatever you're growing. It's like, if it doesn't show up in 2 weeks, are you cutting down the tree? Are you digging the thing up and giving up? No, you're not. So that's the same with you. You're in action. The chances of you achieving that goal of losing weight, whatever that fitness goal might be, is 100,000,000% higher if you do go to the gym a half hour, three times a week, than it is if you don't go at all. It just, you know, so you're doing something. And naturally what happens, it's happened to me, it's happened to almost everybody I know, is that once you start and you do a half hour three times a week, that half hour turns into 40 minutes or it turns into four times a week. You start enjoying it. Why? You were imagining it was going to be terrible. And then you got there and you saw other people like you. And you saw other people doing the same thing. You talked to a few people. You met a few people. If you're able to, you got a trainer who was going to support you, or the gym has a program, right, that you can go into. And now all of a sudden, this becomes part of your culture. You know, here where we surf, and I'm an avid surfer, you know, people all the time live very close to the beach and say, oh, I would never go surf. Why? Well, I mean, the people, they're out there and like, you know, they have the long hair and they're like, you know, I go, I don't look, you know, but, you know, and it's so hard and the waves and the sharks and all that kind of stuff. Well, they're just imagining so much stuff. But those of us who go surfing all the time, we only see the dolphins, the sea lions, the beautiful waves that we're riding on Mother Ocean. I mean, we have a different focus because we're in it. And that's how it can be with the gym as well. You just, these are your people. It's a great culture to be in. You'll go to the bar. I mean, that's a culture, right? You get in that habit, go to the bar, right? Or wherever you go.
Yeah, trust me. I, in my younger days, yes.
Me too.
I was a habit I loved. Like,
but what's funny, and you can probably attest to this, is that once you do get yourself on something else, whether it be the gym or be, you know, art or be something else, all of the sudden, you just don't really want to go to the bar. It's not that interesting. Those people are just not interesting. The experience just isn't interesting. It feels like a waste of time. Now, you may go and have a drink with some buddies, but that's different than just going and sitting at the bar for 3 hours, right? Watching the game and whatever you're doing. So, you know, it's just a matter of getting into action. Like we said, putting your tippy toe out there in that uncomfortable zone, and pretty soon you're swimming. You're out there. That's your thing. And it becomes your new comfort zone. But it should never stop. The growth never stops, right? Then inside of your new comfort zone, here I am. I need to push a little bit more. Why? I don't grow if I'm just being comfortable. So let me move up the times I go, or let me take a class that I never would have taken, or let me do something that I would have never done, but I've always wanted to, inside of what I'm up to, what I'd like to achieve. And it's a growth thing. It just grows and grows and grows as the plant does. All of a sudden, underground, all this stuff is happening. You don't see it, so you don't believe it. It's not growing, right? We say you have to believe it to see it. Most people think they have to see it to believe it. But if you got to believe that you can do it, then you'll see those results. And pretty soon, here comes the little vines. Here comes the sprouts. Oh, my gosh, it really did happen. Something's growing here, which means that you have lost some weight. You see your muscle tone. You've made some new friends. Life feels a little bit different, right? And here comes that plant. It's growing faster now, right? Going, going, going. And that becomes your world.
No, I agree. Yeah, no, this is the thing. I do agree. And like the whole thing is like when you're trying to build a positive habit, it requires more from you. Like, because look, this is the thing. Now, there was a time where, okay, going to like a bar on a regular, like on a Friday, Saturday night was okay. I saw like, how can I, at that stage in my life, it was a very sort of positive habit, going out with my friends, drink, good times, yay. But as time goes by, it's like, yes, going out with my friends, or it's like, maybe not so many friends anymore, but yeah, going out, it's like, it's pricey, it's not what it used to be, and yeah, it's time to move on, you know what I mean? And trying to build that new positive habit, be it like, yeah, reading, be it like sort of like writing, photography, whatever, it requires that little bit more effort. And people sometimes struggle with that, getting over that little hump, you know?
Yeah. Well, success isn't easy, you know, otherwise everybody would be, you know, fully successful. And just wanting something doesn't get it for you. We'd all like to have more money, and, you know, we have to do things to get that money. So those are important things to instill in everybody, but kids and teens. And, you know, what you and I know now, we can show, again, make aware to kids, teens, that, look, when you're up to something, you're not just an easy fish to catch by whoever's trying to catch. So I remember being in high school and not really having a lot of direction. I played water polo, I swam. It was fine, but I was looking for more excitement, you know? And so the people saw that and it was like, oh, well, come over here and skip school because we have an exciting time, right? Or cross the street and come, you know, smoke and drink with us, you know, because after school, because this is the exciting time. And I'm looking for excitement. So I'm a fish that everybody can catch, until I became aware that this is what was happening to me. First of all, I had no power and no control. Mm. They all did. And secondly, I truly would never give up power and control if I'm aware of it. I wouldn't like do that. And then when I started learning about my inner powers and how I could actually create a life that I wanted and go on in that direction, on that path, then everything changed, right? I was a much happier, calmer person, not trying to avoid things like getting in trouble or, you know, whatever the consequences would be of my actions, but instead enjoying the results. You know, it's a very different experience of life. And so that is something to instill in kids now, so that when they head off to high school, they head off to college, they have these inner superpowers. Thing is, sometimes they won't use them. Sometimes they will, but don't know them, they never will.
Yeah, no. And like, this is the thing, I think that always stems, like, not knowing that sort of inner superpower. It's like, if you can't find, like, you can tell someone, do this, like, be that child, be that adult, and it'll make your life better. But they'll listen to you and they'll nod, smile, and they almost, like, they'll agree with you maybe wholeheartedly. But like, without that sort of, this is like the reason why, and like, you can instill that why into their sort of like psyche or being, because like, I have this thing where you've got your fuzzy why, which you're like, yeah, I want to go here. It's like, okay. And you will do a little bit to get there, but you've got to drag and pull that why to get you there. And more times than not, you'll fall off. And then you've got a why, which is like gravity, which is kind of five levels deep, because it's like, okay, why do you want to go to South America? Because like, I'm interested in the people of South America. I've never been, like, okay, why do you want to go to South America? Because I want to see this place and I want to really have like a meal in this one particular instance, two levels deep. Why do you want to go to South America? Because look, I really want to like go to a place where my grandparents like originated from. Okay, three levels deep. And the more levels you go down, and like, I would say, yeah, that's when it turns from fuzzy into something which has a gravitational pull behind it. There is no sort of like, okay, I've got to pull it. It's like, it's pulling you. You can't
pulling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that.
You just get with it no matter what. You're just compelled to go with it, do it, and make that why happen, you know?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I always tell the kids that, you know, you have to create it. It has to come from you. Others can't say it would be a good idea for you to go do this.
Yeah.
Because why won't pull you, like you say, it won't be gravity. It'll feel like, you know, pulling teeth and you're just doing what other people want. And when hard things come up, circumstances, conditions, you know, challenges, obstacles, you're not going to have the power to go through because you never had that strong why. It wasn't your why. So, you know, I tell them other people can definitely, like parents and teachers, say, you know, I think you're good at this, or you would be good at this. You might want to try this. You can certainly agree, but that comes from inside too. That's an inner power to agree. You know, kids often think there's so many have to's. Everybody's just telling me have to. I go, look, there might be some quote unquote have to's, like going to school or, you know, going to visit grandma or whatever it might be. But your power lies in how you choose to experience it. Because if you choose to experience it a certain way, then there's something available to you, right? And what that availability, what's available to you, you don't know. That's the big secret, you know, door. But there's something there for you. So go for it, you know, give it a chance, you know, don't close the doors, close your eyes and just, you know, kind of just suffer through school or whatever these have to's are, because then all you get is suffering. I mean, if you're going to say this is hard and I have to do it and I'm suffering, expect the experience of suffering. You created it, you molded it. So that always kind of gets to them. And again, it's kind of like just, you know, that opportunity to look at things in another way, in ways they haven't before, you know, and that's because we as parents, you know, have always told our kids, look, you have to go to school. And it's just one of those you have to do, period. End of story. Now you just got to do what you got to do with it. And it's very rare kids who really take that on and go, all right, well, my power is how I experience it. So let me go do this and have that gravitational pull. So it's important for them to know that they can create inside of have to's what they want to do, and then get stuff out of it that they can't see.
I agree. Like with regards to sort of, I don't think many people, many parents or even in school, like go, like basically talk about how, how life is more of, I would say 8 times out of 10, more of a reactionary thing. It's like, okay, life, good or bad, no matter what happens to you, the power in everyone is how they react to certain situations. Either be that positive or be that negative. And I think people have seen an example of this in the last 48 hours. That's another story. But but it's a case of, how you react will sort of determine how well you will do, like going forward in your life, you know?
Well, animals react. That's just nature, right? And humans have the power, the ability to respond. Bond, I tell them, is thought in between what happened and what you do. There's thought. Maybe this much, maybe this much. Maybe it's you just have a quick thought and then you consciously respond. Or maybe it's a, hey, I need to think about that. And then you do, and then you respond a day or a week later, right? But you're actually doing some work instead of just doing the animal thing. Like you said, what happened, right? We don't know exactly what was going on in Will's mind, but but we could call that reactionary, potentially. He might have sat there and thought about everything and just said, you know what? I really don't like what just happened. I know what the consequences might be. I know how big they might be. I know how this is going to be worldwide public, and I'm going to go up and slap that guy. He may have done that. We don't know, right? On the other hand, he may have just heard a word, triggered, boom, up, bam. That would be like the animalistic thing where, you know, a dog just reacts, right? It feels like it's in danger when it feels like there's a threat to it, okay? And that's often how we do things, right? We react to things. We have that, we miss that thought part, which is what makes us human and different from the animals. And it's important.
Yeah, no, indeed, indeed. Like, so with this, like, okay, you were in partying, like party planning, that got taken away from you. Like, when was the sort of epiphanal moment you had that spark to like, oh, you know what, hey, because like 2020, that was a real shit show for many a person, you know, and yeah. Businesses went to the wayside. Like, to sort of go, like, what gave you the will to sort of dust yourself down and get back up?
Yeah. So just to be clear, I didn't party plan. I know that's what everybody said. No, that's okay. There was party planners, and then we would come and do the entertainment at the events. And so it was more just kind of, we were on the court there, but no problem. So what happened was, prior to even knowing there was COVID, I had the idea of creating a company that did live events here in San Diego, where kids could get a transformational message, learn how to use their imagination or any of their other faculty, like we had talked about, their focus, their willpower, and then send them off on some paddle boards or send them off on some kayaks or do some rock climbing. So I was going to add this sort of action thing to it to combine, but COVID did kind of shut that idea down too. So I actually had my company and my idea shut down at the same time. However, in the world of not just having my eyes here, that was a time for me to look up, you know, and it has to become a choice. Like, you have to choose to look up, because it's so easy. And I tell people, like, look, I could have easily just been like, oh my gosh, you guys, this is what happened to me. My party company, you know, I've had it for 25 mm-hmm. years here. And all of a sudden, this crazy thing that nobody could have ever planned for has taken, you know, the roots out of it. And people have been like, Scott, I'm so sorry. That's so horrible. And I could have just soaked up all of that sympathy and been like, oh, yeah, you know what? This is horrible. I had no choice. Mm-hmm. This is bad. Or I could look up and go, well, there's opportunity, like we talked about. But what is that opportunity? See, I can't see it. I'd already had this other idea. And that other idea was pretty much shut down too. Wow. Okay. Well, what was happening? Schools were going online. This was going, I didn't see this when I first had the idea. I could go online. I could create virtual courses. What does that look like? How do you do that? And I started going down that journey and that process, having never, ever done it, because I was a live event guy. And so I made mistake after mistake after mistake, you know, me and Thomas Edison, him making the light bulb, me making courses, yeah. You know, mistake after mistake. But this is, again, what I teach. It's like, mistakes are growth, right? They, you know, they're either going to pull you down or lift you up, because you think you're getting closer, you think you're getting further away. It's all perception. I knew, because of my training, I'm getting closer and closer and closer. People were entering my world that were helping me go to the next step, still happening. And so ultimately, inside of that, I had what you were talking about before. I had a big why, I had a big pull towards this. And that big why was, I knew something very important. I knew that kids were being dragged down. All of a sudden, wearing masks wherever you go, not being able to go to school, doing it online, sports being shut down, their life actually being like crazy changed in an instant. And the fear of, am I going to get sick? Is my family going to get sick? Are people going to die? What is happening here? Because we all had those. But they're being pulled into this world, because their world really was friends and school, and, you know, it was very simple. And so I thought, I know something. I know the tools. I know what they could do. I know if that they saw this, that they and had access to this, it would truly help them. And I knew that I had a unique way of bringing it to them. However, I didn't know that at that moment. I thought I was going to switch from entertainment to coach. But it was a guy who I randomly ran into, who had worked for Tony Robbins for about 15 years. And he said to me, you're not switching anything. I go, I'm not. He goes, oh, no, you don't take that 25 years and throw it away. you bring it to this thing, and what you're doing is meet it, but they're only going to hear you, and you're only going to differentiate yourself if you bring this experience. Other people don't have this 25 years experience. They didn't create party companies, all the games and activities, and run them. I went, oh my God, you're right. How do I do that? So Minds in Motion became an interactive, engaging experience. There's power parties and there's power quests. Mm-hmm. Just two versions of the same thing. A power quest goes over a 6-week period of time. We meet twice a week, either live or online, and we take them through the 6 keys to unlocking your inner superpowers. A power party does it in a 2, 3, or 4-hour version, and you do it at a one setting, and maybe there's lunch, and there's music, and there's all these interactive, engaging games. And if I may show you, inside of that, I created what's called the power box. So every kid that does a quest or does a party gets a power box. Now, it's really important that we have some hands-on stuff to play with here because, you know, we're teenagers, we're kids. So when we talk about imagination, we talk about Play-Doh, right? We give them a thing of Play-Doh. Mm-hmm. Here's why. First of all, Play-Doh was accidentally created through someone's imagination, right, of creating something else. And then they were aware and they went, oh, that's not working, but this. This
could be cool. Yeah. It's like, I wonder how much this will be worth in the future.
Right. I tell him, I'm like, do you think the guy who accidentally made this thought it might be the biggest toy ever?
He's like, you mean in schools? Yep. Like schools, yeah. Kids, everything. Yeah. God, how long has Play-Doh even been around for?
Good. I think about 50 plus years for sure. Maybe longer.
Wow.
But I tell them, I go, look, you know, this is just a ball. And you can mold it into anything you want. It starts with your thought, starts with your imagination. You can create anything that you want out of this Play-Doh. So think about it for a few moments and then start creating. And sure enough, they'll all create something and I'll show them how everybody created something different. That's because they're all unique. They have all unique likes and thoughts. And so no two things would be the same. Even if they both created the same happy face, the happy faces would look different. Mm. All right. So you can create what you want by thinking and imagining. You can mold your life like the Play-Doh into the life that you would like to have. But here's the thing. Here's what most people do. And I have them ball it back up. I go, give it to the person next to you. Now they're going to make something. Whatever it is, you have to take it. See, other people are imagining for you. Mm. They're telling you how your life should be. And you're listening. You're just taking it without any thought. And you may not like it, and it may not be uniquely yours, right? Or it might just be what the other kids are doing. The other kids are doing this, so I'm going to do it. I'm not having any thought about it. I got to do it. I got some serious FOMO going on here. I might miss out. What happens if I miss out? What are they going to say? What about the bullying? What about all the things that could happen to me? Because they're out there seeking approval for what it is being made, and they're too scared to make their own thing. So they'll just make the thing that the others are making, go along with it. Well, this is a problem because that thing keeps changing and you got to keep up. You got to wake up in the morning. You better check your phone. You better check your Instagram. You better make sure that there's not something new happening in your people that you're going to miss out. Because if you show up at school and you don't know that thing, oh, God forbid, bad things could occur. And that's what approval looks like for kids on a daily basis. On Instagram, these kids tell me these filters. They spend hours trying to get the right filter, and then they wake up hoping nobody has bullied them about their filter. I go, are you kidding me? My God, if somebody used to not like us, they had to say it to our face, but that's the world that we live in now.
Well, they had to say it to our face, and it was only between the hours of school time.
Truly, not at midnight, 1 a.m. when you check in your phone, but that's what they're doing. And I talk to them, and I go, look, when you create your own thing, you find others who have created something similar. Mm. And guess what? Approval ends and support begins. Mm. You see, when people are up to similar things and they lift each other up, they belong in the same tribe. Think of it like you want to be an actor or an actress in like the theater. So you go there, right? And all of a sudden the other people want you to be a great actor or actress, and you want them to be a great actor or actress. Right. And so there's a feeling of support, not approval. Right. Approval never leaves. And sometimes that's just inside your own conscious. Like, do they like me? But if you can become aware of you supporting others and it's not a competitive world, there's enough for everybody, and you start joining a team or a cooperative world, your perception, your experience changes. See, they don't have to change. You just become that person. And so that's a great thing. And that wakes kids up.
Mm. Yeah. Know? No, but like, this is the thing from like, yeah, from like a bit of Play-Doh, like basically, yeah, saying, yeah, you be responsible for this. Be responsible for your life to shape and mold it the way you need it to, like you want it to be, rather than hand it off to someone else. It's one of those things which I would say it's very hard for some people to grasp, because yes, yeah, someone else has always had their Play-Doh. Be it family members, be it people they've loved, or be it people which have not been the most positive people in their life. So you kind of like go, okay, if you can sort of ingrain that lesson into a child at a young age, like, oh yeah, you have to be responsible for your Play-Doh. It, like, your Play-Doh is your life. You be responsible for it. Like, yeah, the amount of sort of life choices they would make, I don't know in what direction, but it will be their direction. Be it like, you know what I mean? You might look at it and go, you're being a freaking idiot right now, but you know what I mean? That might be the very thing they need to take them on to, who knows, their own personal greatness, but it's their choice. And if they're making their moves for themselves, is that a bad thing? You know?
Yeah, look, if I make something and I don't like it, I can understand that I can make something else.
Yeah. You know?
I can make something else with it. The third and last thing I do with it is I, you know, tell them, you know, not only is somebody else going to make it, I say, make something that you don't like. Make something you'd hate to have to look at all the time. Mm. And I tell them, for me, it'd be a spider, because I don't like spiders. Mm. And I go, now you have to have that with you at all times. But you have to understand, you made it. And now it's with you. And that's what a lot of people do. They make things they don't want and they don't like, through their imagination, through thinking the worst. Mm. And so they carry that with them. It just travels with them. And they actually think they can't change it. But I'm here to tell you now, look, it's as simple as this. Make something new. And I give them the Play-Doh, of course. So now every time they look at Play-Doh, they have a reminder of how they can mold and shape their own lives. Mm. So whether or not they choose to do it, it's there for them. It's sitting there.
Yeah.
Right? And look, I know, because I've asked for testimonials, I've asked for feedback from the kids. This makes a huge difference. This one thing, and this is only one of the six keys that I teach them, right? The power of using your imagination and molding and creating your own life, and how you can do that, and how you can shape it. Just that one alone is life-changing. One dad said, a very simple shift in just the way my kid started thinking changed everything for her. The differences are enormous in how she operates and how she acts, how much more social and open, how her head's up, her eyes are open, you know, to the world, where her head down. And it was almost like having her smile was like, you know, an annual celebration, you know. It was like so much in the head, bringing her down. And then it was like, whoa, I could let go of that. I can mold and create my life.
Yeah.
You know?
You got to remember, like if you're in an aircraft and you alter the course by 2 degrees, like, and you're flying from London and you want to go to New York and you move it 2 degrees south, you like, you end up, like, by the time you go to the same distance, you'll be in Washington, D.C. It's like, you know what I mean? It's
bounds.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things which the small course corrections to make one's life better. It doesn't take a lot, but it's one of those things. It does take a lot of belief. The actions don't, it's not that great. You just like, oh, you just do that, and you consistently do that. If it's a positive thing, and before you know it, you will end up in a positive direction more times than not. Obviously, life can throw a random wrench here and there, because that's what life likes to do at times. But people also go, yeah, but that's not how it plays. But no, if you do that in a negative fashion, like with that consistency, it will move you into a negative place. And you might get something, positive what come out of it, as life will throw out random stuff to you in the way of like a ladder or something to help lift you up. But more times than not, it's going to take you to a negative place. It's just the small things make the world the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you talk about airplanes. I have one right here.
Ah, excellent.
That we use this for the pilot and autopilot, the conscious and subconscious. And you were talking about going to South America, and maybe that's something you really want. You know, I want to go to South America. I'd love to go to South America, but you have some programming, that autopilot. And he goes, oh no, don't do that. You'll never make it. It's scary there. It's too dangerous. We should just stay here, not even take off, because things could happen. Bad things could happen. And over here you're going, but I really want to go, and it'd be really cool. And over here it's going, no, 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 no. And you think it's two different people, but it's just you talking, and it's your programming. And when you become aware and you go, oh, wait a minute, that's me. And that's just a belief that I'm holding as a truth. And I could actually change that, because obviously people go to South America. So let me actually give myself what I'd really like to say to myself. And that is, you can do it. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time. We're going to learn so much. And, you know, confident, I'm confident I can do it. And so then you start positive self-talking to yourself instead of automatically autopilot, negatively talking to yourself. And then you take off, and your experience of it is much better. Now, there might be some scariness. There might be some walls to get through, right, to do it. But you can do it. You can, right? You just don't let that inner voice that sounds like it's coming from this, you know, God above stop you. Right? Like you create the voice, you program. And guess what happens once you do it? You do it again. And then what are you doing? Reprogramming. Now your autopilot, every time you want to do something, goes, oh yeah, we did it that other time. It wasn't so bad. Let's go for it. We actually had a lot of fun. We actually accomplished this thing that actually worked. And you're building new pathways, right? The neural pathways, you're building new pathways in there that show up like, I'm confident, I can do it, I will do it. And you go and do bigger and better things. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. No, I just like knocking the camera. No, what? No, it's very true. But I think this is the thing. Like, whereas when we used to, like when we were younger, like say we were encouraged to do a lot more. We used to throw like a lot more mud at the wall and to see what stuck, if you get what I mean. As time goes by, I think as adults, I know you specialize in like helping kids, but as adults, that sort of mud flinging doesn't sort of take place as much. It's like, oh, I'd really like to do this, but it's like, yeah, throw the mud, see if it sticks. Like, yeah, get a little bit messy, enjoy yourself. I think that someone gets lost. I'm not too sure why. Maybe it's just a case of the realm of responsibilities, but who knows?
Well, fear grows, right? And I think the other thing that we really want to do, and why I'm doing this certain age group, is because we want to interrupt that. So between that, throwing mud, see what sticks, just going for it, no fear, right? Don't have all this stuff about it.
Yeah.
And I have all this stuff about it. I can't do it. I, you know, da 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 da. People have told me this is hard and that, and da da da. I don't believe in myself anymore. Right. So between those two things, let's interrupt. And let's interrupt with some powerful tools that allow you to see how you can actually think, act, be, do differently. So what? You have choice. That's all it is. You have freedom when you have choice. Yeah. So give them choice. Some will choose this way. Some will choose this way. Some will choose this way, come back and then choose this way. Some will choose this way, go over here, go that way. You know, that will be life, but there will always be choice. And that's something I didn't have. It was one way or the highway. This is the way you do it. And if you don't like that, then you're stepping off, but you're not stepping off powerfully. You're rebelling. You're revolting. You're going against the grain, but not in a good way, you know?
Yeah, and if anyone's tried to play like playing a piece of wood going against the grain, that is some hard work right there. Some very hard work. Yeah. So with sort of going against the, well, going with the grain, how did you come up with the concept of a Dax to the max?
Aha, that's to the max. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes, there you go.
So all that we're talking about for Minds in Motion, my company is for that 10 to 16 year old age group, broken down between 10 and 12 and 13 and 16. But I have a 6-year-old. Dax is my 6-year-old son. And so I want Dax to have the introduction of how powerful his mind is and what he can do and how he can create his life and how he can get past obstacles and circumstances and not be the effect of the world. And I wanted it to happen at a young age. So when he was 5, which was, just a few months ago, I wrote it last year. I wrote Dax to the Max, The Power of Imagination. And Dax to the Max is really for that kind of 3 to 7 or 8 year old age group. And the format of it being a book or a book series allows them to get it without having to sit through a course, which they won't do, right? They can still play with Play-Doh, but they don't need to sit through an entire course. But they can read a book and then their parents can talk about it. So what happens in Dax to the Max is Dax first learns really how his imagination works. And he does it with his friend and kind of guide and babysitter, Lauren. And they look at the clouds and she says, "What do you see in the clouds?" You know how we all do that? We look in the clouds and we go, "Oh, that looks like this or that." And she shows him like how to see it. He sees some things. And then pretty soon what happens is that this kind of wizard shows up really clear in there. And when the wizard shows up, he poof goes away to a message, and the message sends them into a cave where imagination will be the key to understand and unlock the mystery. Now, I chose cave because there's an old famous kind of saying that is, the cave you fear to enter holds the jewels that you seek, which always means stepping out of your comfort zone and going where you're afraid to go. Probably on the other side of it has what you want, but you got to go through it to get there. So that's what the cave was for. Now, bears can either be grizzly bears or teddy bears, right? They can either be Yogi Bear animated or they can be like real bear scary. So I chose a bear and his name is Fregly, and the bear is fear. So
What's the bear's name? Frankly, yeah.
Fregly, fear. Now, look, before you really start giving energy and thought to fear, Fregly looks a little bit like this. He's just kind of dormant. He's there. The fear's there. But when you start thinking, "Oh my gosh, I'm so scared," right? You wake up fear, and fear gets some teeth, right? Fear can become pretty scary. And so at that point, you're either going to let fear dominate you and you're going to run away and get away from fear, or you have the ability to use your imagination in that moment and change the experience or the perception of the thing that's causing the fear. Right. And you could go, "I've never done it before. So it could be scary, but it also could be really fun. And it could be really adventurous. And I know that I want the thing that's on the other side, whether it be the award or whether it be being able to swim or whether it be being an actor in that play or being on that basketball team, whatever it is that's causing the fear. I know that if I can kind of get past it by not allowing the fear to control me, but I control the fear, then the fear can become something that I like, the experience of it anyway. And then Fregly can become, this fun animated bear. So fear now becomes, and the illustrations and the words really lend itself to the age group. And then sure enough, Fregly kind of becomes, the friend of Dax, so that he can use the fear, to excite him, to challenge him, to go past where he's gone before. And he does that and ultimately, succeeds in the quest and the adventure and gets sent off to the next one with a cape, which is his, now he has an inner superpower. So that's what this is. And, in the back of it, I tell for the parents, you know, I tell him, I say, Fregley represents the different types of people, situations, and circumstances that we come across in life. And I say, I don't recommend you approach a grizzly bear or wild animals and close your eyes and imagine it to be friendly. I do recommend you approach anything that scares, stops, or upsets you. Look inside yourself. Imagine how you can make it different, better, more fun, exciting, cool, awesome for you. So that's the purpose and the point of this book. And so that's available on Amazon. It's called That's to the Max. Not to give myself any commercial plugs, but I'm doing it anyway. There it is. And it will turn into a series. And people like, I don't know if people listening know like who Bob Proctor is. Bob Proctor is like the grandfather of personal development. He trained people like Tony Robbins and others. And he recently, just about 2 months ago, passed away at age 87. But right before he passed away, just a couple of weeks, really, he endorsed my book. So I have one of the last books endorsed by Bob Proctor, which is amazing. So that's on the cover, as well as some other people who are well-known in the industry. And so it's making a difference. It's got great reviews. I've taken it out virtually and live, read it to a bunch of kids everywhere. And also it got picked up by a production company, and we recently just signed a shopping agreement. And so we're going to turn a version of this into a TV show for like a PBS Kids or a Nickelodeon, to really have this amazing TV show where kids, along with Dax, can earn their inner superpowers and really learn how to use their mind to get past anything that scares them. So to really be around, you know, different versions of fear. So look for that coming, maybe 6 months, a year, 2 years, I don't know.
Well, put it this way, if it becomes a TV show, yeah, definitely going to get you back on. Yeah.
Okay.
Get to watch that, you know? Like, wow.
More exciting guest, didn't I?
Well, look, you're an exciting guest already, you know? Like, you've got lots to share. You've got helping lots of people, well, lots of kids learn and find their way. Hey, hopefully, like, overcoming some of the roadblocks which often get set into before they become like adults, see the true potential in themselves rather than the things how other people shape and hold them back. You know, it's an important message. And I think we're in this sort of day and age with like so many distractions which are out there, so many pressures which me and you didn't have to deal with when we were growing up. And as I said, alluded to earlier, it would stop at the end of a school day. You said, if they're checking their phones at like 1 o'clock in the morning, that is pressure that neither of us will know. And like trying to take their Play-Doh and make it what they want it to be in life. Mm-hmm. It becomes that little bit harder because like, instead of being like some random group of people may be leading astray, which can happen, but it's more times now, it's some high and mighty ideal they've got to live up to of this sort of realm of perfection, or it's like this sort of, bizarre zaniness they have to live, like to become, to either get attention or get clout when they should be trying to build themselves up rather than just going for this so-called clout, this sort of like fool's gold, if you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between trying to survive the day and thriving through the day.
Mm.
Yeah. And a lot of these kids are trying to survive, and their excitement, their confidence comes from the same place, their sadness, their anxiety, and their lack of confidence comes from, and that is how others see them. If they wake up and they see on their feeds like positive stuff, or somebody says, I love your shoes or whatever, confidence up, right? Now, somebody comments, I don't like this or something like that, and it starts a little storm, confidence down, anxiety up, same place. And they're counting on this one thing, to kind of control their emotions, not knowing or if they do know, not using the fact that they can control their emotions. They don't have to let that affect them. Nothing on the outside ever has to change, right? They haven't read books like Man's Search for Meaning, where, you know, he's locked up for many, many years, and he says they can lock my body, but not my mind. I'll always have that. His experience of it was his own in that book. And there's other examples of it. It's so perfect to really think like, look, if I feel all this stuff is happening to me and I'm energizing it by giving it my, you know, undivided attention, my focus, and my emotions are controlled by it, then of course I'm going to be sad. Of course I'm going to have anxiety. I might have depression. I might go to my parents and tell them this, but my parents don't know. So all of a sudden now they're feeding into the fact that my kid's depressed, blaming the outside circumstances of life, not knowing that the power lies within. You can change how you see it. And then it changes. Once you do that, it will change, right? But it doesn't have to change for you to feel better. You can feel better and get strong internally to change it. If that's what's needed.
I hear that. I hear that. Remarkable. Yes. No. No, totally understand. I get that. And it's a case of like helping like others get that. Because like, yeah, when like too often, when like, yeah, if someone is on social media, they can see 1,001 positive messages. But the pinprick, the needle, is that one negative message, which like, yeah, can turn them into a spiral. And that sometimes when like you're not aware that the fix is in on that type of game, if you're playing that game on a constant level, being able to like go, yeah, to sort of embrace the like the positive things in life and like go forward with that. That is the challenge. I think that is like the things that should be the armor which helps like prepare and help individuals in this world of ours, you know.
That's what of course is called becoming unmessable, and it really is just about not allowing things to mess with you. You have power, you having control to create. Stuff's coming at you. Life will have obstacles and circumstances, but who's going to be in the face of it? The victim? Or are you going to be powerful? Use them. Go past them. Blast through them. Right? So that's what those who have conquered, those who have succeeded, however they've succeeded. We may know them. They may be popular figures, or they may be someone who, you know, I took my kid to like the local theater the other night, and there's these people who were playing these different roles in this children's theater. I don't know, but they definitely had to blast through different obstacles to become that character on that stage at that moment. And they probably have loftier goals as well, but they're on the journey, right? And one of them plays like, you know, like Daniel Tiger or something like that. I can just imagine that this, you know, he was very good. And I could imagine that he's trained. And inside of that, whether it was his own thinking or others going, dude, you're going to play Daniel Tiger and wear a costume? But he never allowed that to deter him. That was just either that's it for him. He's like, I love Daniel Tiger and that's who I want to be. I grew up with Mr. Rogers and bam. Or I see this as my access. I'm not going to say no to my access of other people seeing me and somebody going, who plays Daniel Tiger? Let's put him in this other role. Because if I don't play Daniel Tiger, nobody's saying that. You know, so just looking at people in their own journeys and where they're at and what they're doing, right? We don't know their inner thoughts until we talk to them and they share it with us, but we can assume or we can say they're on a journey going somewhere, right? And if someone isn't, you can tell. You can tell when like they are just letting the circumstances and conditions come at them, right? And they're weighing them down and carrying. Sometimes like I'll do things like, you know, I'll carry things, I'll put things on me. Depending on what's happened to me, people walk around and they just keep adding things. And like you said, it compounds. And pretty soon it feels so heavy, I can't even lift up my shoulders or my head. And I'm walking around like this. And then something comes at me, another obstacle. And all I'm doing is taking it on because I have no power, no energy, no ability to push it away, to break through, to blast through it. That's just not what I do. I always take it on and on and on until I can't take it anymore. And when I can't take it anymore, that's when things go real bad, right? That's when unfortunately, teen suicides are up and things like that. I can't take it anymore. That's what that means, right? I'm not going to try anymore. But I never tried. I just let things, you know, get to me. I didn't know what else to do. That's why I have to do this. That's the most important reason I have to do this. Now, I don't go and do this and go, I'm going to save your kid from suicide. However, that could be the effect of this. No one would know, right? I say when your kids feel limited or stopped, they're frustrated, overwhelmed, you know, let's get them going because they want something. Let's get them going towards it instead of allowing the world to keep coming down on them. Let's interrupt boldly. Let's just interrupt it, blow it up, and let's go in a different direction. That's important.
Indeed. My last question for you, because like you, sir, how can I say? Yeah, an inspiration, a joy to have. Indeed.
Oh, thank you.
No worries. But like, okay, with regards to your journey, like, how do you see your journey playing out over the next, say, 18 months?
Okay, great. Thanks. Great question. So I want to, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, the world stays open, right? We don't get closed down and stuff like that. And I have the ability to go bring this live to more people. I have a vision of Quest Fest. Quest Fest is large events, hundreds, if not thousands of teens and tweens who have gone through some version of a power party or a power quest coming together, maybe on the bay here in San Diego, or maybe in Australia where I've done some virtual courses. And we have speakers and we have music and we have dance and we have food. We have this big party, right? But it's all of people who are on this journey, like they're in the, inside the movement, in the circle, because they're now in that support world, right? They're like, what are you up to? What are you up to? And we have an online community called Circle, and they're in there doing all that, right? That's a growing thing. So that's one thing. I see myself speaking to adults with teens and with tweens because they need to become aware in order for them to be able to share and have their kids do our program. So I'm doing speaking to them as well. Maybe even they do a power quest with some Play-Doh and some gliders. I think they would have a lot of fun doing that as well. With Dats to the Max, I'm continuing on with another book in the series, but definitely the TV show is high on the radar. So at that point, having a TV show out there. And then finally, for those who can't necessarily do like a live quest with me or a virtual live quest or a quest fest, having my program Becoming Unmesswithable recorded so that you can kind of DIY it, do it yourself, and you can purchase it at a rate that's affordable enough so everybody can have it and still join in the community, be on like Q&A calls that would be set up so you can listen, do it yourself, do it your own pace, but still have the support. So these are the different legs and arms of what it is I'm creating inside Minds in Motion.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. Ah, Scott, I've got to say, yeah, thank you for coming on today. Now, could you tell the lovely people how they can find you out there on these interwebs? How can they do it, Scott? How?
How? Well, it's mindsinmotion.com for all the information, and that's spelled MindZen. MOTION, and Zen is calm. So it's calming the mind to get into action. That's what Minds in Motion is all about. And it's Minds in Motion Life Unlimited. So mindsinmotion.com, info@mindsinmotion.com. Same way. Great. Just send me an email and I'll happy to respond. I do free consultations. We do private power parties and power quests for different groups. Sometimes the kids all want to know each other and they're up to something like a team and they want to get certain results. We do those. We have open forum ones. When you go to our website, it'll show like when the next open forum quest is and in what area zone, what time zone. So we just finished one in Australia time zone. We have one coming up in the middle of April for US Pacific time zone. So that could be for anywhere in the US really. So you can see that. I think it's like April 20th, that one's starting. And then Dats to the Max is on Amazon. So please purchase and review it. That would be awesome. Your kids 3 to 8 would love it. And then just, that's it. I think that's the best ways to get a hold of me for sure.
Outstanding. Yes, I'll put all the information into the show notes, into the description. So yes, you can find Scott and Daxton Max and all the things he's offering out there in this big blue world we live in. Ah, fantastic. Scott, as I say, thank you for coming on today. You have been outstanding. Yeah. There you go. I love you say to you, my friends, my life warriors out there, thank you for sticking with us to this point. I wish you a great day. Please stay well, stay safe, be awesome, be excellent, be fantastic. Be all the positive bees you can be in this world and then some. Have a great day, guys. Yes. Peace. And we are...